Little under 2 months ago, the 2026 provincial budget finally was passed. It, to my memory, is one of the most, well, contentious that I remember. Culture workers, culture sector did end up bearing, or seemed to bear the brunt of cutbacks in an attempt by the province to get the deficit in check. Operations and programs funding were cut really deeply across the sector, between 20 and 30%. This happened after seasons had been planned, after rights had been acquired, after agreements had been forged between companies, people had been hired, after marketing materials had been prepared and purchased, just days before seasons were to be announced by most of the summer theater companies. So as we close in now for a lot of these companies, we're within 2 to 4 weeks of rehearsals. I wanted to check in with the artistic directors of four of these summer theater companies. Laura Vingocram, Ships Company Theatre. Ken Schwartz is with Ross Creek Centre for the Arts and Two Planks. Andrea Boyd is up in Antigonish at Festival Antigonish and Kat McCormick at Eastern Front. We all convened on a Zoom earlier today. I'm going to play that chat for you now. First voice you're going to hear is Laura Vingocram from Ships Company.
Yeah, March was a really tough month when these cuts got handed down. We were, I want to say, 2 days away from sending our season brochure to the printers, which is, you know, a big spread of everything that we're doing for the summer. And it takes a lot of work to pull that together and with our marketing team and our graphic designer. And suddenly it was like, oh, we might have to cancel a show. Like we just lost $25,000, which for us is a fair chunk of change. We run on a $500,000 budget a year, right? And so that $25,000 means a show. And so I feel like there was kind of a holding pattern. It was like, how are we moving forward here? And then I wrote letters and I talked to my MLA and just felt so defeated because, you know, we had had a small increase a few years ago from this government. And there was sort of a feeling of hope there, and that we could actually do a full season and produce a full season of plays. And then suddenly it was like the rug got ripped out from underneath me. So we turned to our funders, and we turned to our supporters and our audience. And fortunately for this year, we were saved, for lack of a better term. We plugged the hole, and we had some very, very generous donors save our second show, and so we were able to have a complete season this year. So that's what scares me the most, is yes, this year is going ahead as planned, but next year, I don't know. Not having that commitment from the government, from the Nova Scotia government, is it's really destabilizing.
Is that something that any of the rest of you confronted as well?
I can certainly add that yes, you know, for us at Two Planks, virtually everything that Laura said is almost identical to our journey through this last couple of months. And right down to, you know, at one point we had to turn to our supporters and essentially say, you know, that without additional support, that we wouldn't be able to do our season at all. And similarly to what Laura described, we were met with enough support that we could go forward. We faced many of, you know, many similar challenges.
For Kat or Andrea, were things already in motion when these announcements came out?
We were a bit delayed in our decision-making this year, so that kind of worked in our favor in terms of marketing in this situation, because we have the situation at the Bauer Theatre where the fire marshal has mandated upgrades. So for quite a while, we didn't know where our season was going to be or what it might be, what it might look like. So we had just sort of decided what it would be and got permission to be in the theater this summer, and construction will be in the fall. And then this all happened, which was, I think somebody used the word, it just felt like it defeating, and it really, that's a good word for it. We have a small season planned in terms of the number of artists. They're all little shows. But even with that, our operating budget has a deficit, and we have an accumulated surplus that is going to go towards paying for that deficit. But moving forward, it feels like, how can we program anything? Costs are up and revenues are down. So, but our marketing materials are okay in terms of these cuts, because we had to be late in announcing our season.
Kat, if you have anything to add there before, I want to ask you about the impact for the communities you're all operating in, but I'd love to give you a chance just to talk first, Kat, about how you maybe had to respond or pivot.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. For us, it was less about the marketing, which is always sort of a panic at EFT, but more about, you know, the timing of it. We had just sent out all the contracts to all the artists for Frenchie's The Thrift Musical, which is a big swing for us. You know, this is already a show that Eastern Front Theater and Ships Company, like, we are working to try to afford to bring this play to life. And so it was more about this question of like, oh my God, well, one, we no longer can afford to do the play. So do we cancel the play, you know, pay out the artists? Do we push the play for a year? But then we still have to pay out the artists, and then we'll still be out the money next year. You know, it was sort of this impossible, it was just so fast, you know, there was no warning about this. So we were going forward with the idea that the promises that had been made would be carried through by the government. And, you know, I also just want to say, I feel so sorry for the government employees that work in these departments that were having to send out these notices that we were all going to be losing this funding. You know, no one is making money in theater, which I think everyone already knows. That's not a very well-kept secret. But just this idea that this money would no longer go through our community. You know, we also are devoted to Atlantic Canadian, so it's almost everything is local. Every cent that goes into EFT goes back into the local community, whether it's through people or through local companies. So for me, it was more about the timeline of the artists you know, are we going to have to fire a bunch of people that we have just hired? So that was really difficult. It was very destabilizing and very disheartening. And it's already tough. And so that did make it a lot harder.
Yeah. And can you...
I just wanted to add something to what everybody has said, that I think for someone who might not be working in our world, might not be apparent, which is that for many of our organizations, that we had multi-year agreements with government. We were not budgeting and planning for something that was unknown. Some of us had 2- and 4-year long agreements for funding. And the reason we had those agreements is that when you're planning a production, like all the activity that my colleagues and I, that we were describing, it takes 1, 2, sometimes 3 years of planning to pull it off, including engaging artists, developing the work. It's a complicated thing. It's a lot of fun too, but you can't bring a production together in 2 months. It doesn't work that way. And so when the government literally ripped up our multi-year agreements with no notice or any advance consultation, they were asking us to be terrible planners, essentially. It's like a big, big ship that's, you know, pointing in one direction. We couldn't just pick up the boat and put it in an opposite direction on a moment's notice. You know, certainly for all of us actually on this call right now, we were faced with projects that were just days away from beginning. and having the rug pulled out from under us. So it's not just the promise that in the future it will be harder for us to find resources. We had resources taken away from us that were already promised. So that in part, I think, explains just how difficult it's been for us.
Ken, you and Laura, you as well mentioned that, you know, you had to pivot and go out to donors, and thankfully the community rallied. Like, how, what's the reality of that, Laura? Maybe I'll start with you, and then it's open to everyone.
Yeah, I think Ken spoke really well there about how we already had, you know, we had these 3-4 year multi-year agreements with Nova Scotia government. So that's reliable funding that we could depend on, or at least we thought we could depend on it. Donations and donors fluctuate every year. It really depends. So it's just not reliable. It's just not reliable funding. It's very hard to plan, not knowing what's going to come in to pay our staff, to keep our building going, to keep our facility going. It's just making everything so much more unpredictable. And again, I guess the word that we keep using is destabilizing. It's just, we don't know about what's going to happen in the future. So it makes it harder to plan. It makes it harder to continue to sustain, but also to build, right? It's like, we have plans to renovate the ship, but I don't, like, now I just feel like we're just trying to keep our heads above water right now, right? And the impact it's going to have on the broader artistic community and artistic cultural life of this province is going to be huge.
And the communities. Sorry, Andrea, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in and say, being in a small town, as many of us are here on this call, the donor pool is small. Mm. And I do feel that we are well supported by our community, sponsors and donors, but there's only so much we can ask for. And out here at Festival Inuganish, we've also just had to fundraise for these upgrades. So it is very limited how much more we can ask for and get. The not knowing and the fluctuations, it's really stressful and very impactful on staff and artists.
Yeah, and I think I just want to echo what Andrea is saying about, you know, ships and Festival Inuganish and Ross Creek, that we're all in rural communities, and not very affluent rural communities either. I mean, especially like the ship, we have a huge amount of support in our community, but not necessarily a lot of financial support.
I picture St. Parsborough, perfect example, right? What happens in the community of Parsborough if you do have to drop a show? Like, what is the impact? And maybe for all of you who are in the smaller communities, what's the impact more broadly?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was talking to business owners about the potential of dropping a show, they were horrified. They were like, this is awful. Like, there's terror about the idea because ships brings in a lot of tourists to our little community, right? And similarly, our Fundy Geological Museum, I sort of consider our two organizations as like the pillars that kind of bring a lot of tourists to our community. And obviously museums were hugely impacted by these cuts in a very dramatic way. And so both myself and Danielle at the Fundy Geological Museum were like, well, we can't run programs. Like, we can't, this is going to have a big impact on our local businesses, on our, on tourism this summer. And, you know, we are small. Yeah. Parsborough is a small town that thrives off tourism. So as soon as you take that away, then where, you know, those tourism dollars are not getting spent at the restaurants, at the inns, that money's not coming in. So even losing one show has a huge impact on the economy of our town.
Yeah, and I just have to say, I found that comment about, you know, well, we'll give the money to the people and then if they want, they can support the arts. It's like, it's giving a little let them eat cake. And I just, like, you know, the idea that people support the arts is so real, but also the arts support the people. You know, like, this is almost a service that we provide, and, you know, and we're also an industry that fuels money into our economy. And as you know, it wasn't just the arts that were cut. There were so many services cut to the people. And I understand that it's hard everywhere right now, but I just feel like it's so cruel to say, well, the people that also have no supports, they can support you if they want. Like, when we are an industry that supports services by bringing money into our province.
Kat used the word cruel, and I think that really resonates with me and so many of our colleagues. When the finance minister announced the budget, you know, read the budget, there's a preamble. And in that preamble said something, I'm paraphrasing slightly, but, you know, that government's job is to get out of the way. I think those words were almost exactly said. And that's an ideological shift that I think is potentially really dangerous, not just for our sector, but for a lot of sectors. Things like hospitals and libraries and public parks and schools and arts venues, they don't exist without investment from the public, and government is one of the key ways that that investment is made. I think comments, you know, like that that we've been hearing from government and government representatives, they really belie a complete lack of awareness of how things work. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I think it's a lack of awareness of what goes into creating a cohesive community. And those of us who work in all these sectors and have been so outspoken about the recent budget, we do have an understanding because we live it every day, not only how we deliver these services to communities, but what the impact of those services are. And I think we're facing a situation in which people in our government, they're almost hermetically sealed away from those realities. And because of that, we're not speaking the same language to each other. It's almost like we live in different worlds. We have to find a way to somehow speak the same language. When donors come to our rescue, it's not sustainable, but it also says something about the difference between what our government values and what people in our communities actually value. They were willing to step in a crisis and say, no, this can't happen. It's not sustainable, but it's also a demonstration of what people actually value.
Does anyone else have a final word?
The Nova Scotia Coalition for the Arts, we've been asking the Premier of Nova Scotia for a meeting for more than 2 months now, and we're not getting any reply. And the Premier keeps saying that he is willing to meet, but he's not doing it. And that's really important. It's really important that we're heard. And I personally think it's part of the Premier's job to listen. And so contrary to his public statements, he is not meeting with us. I think it's important that go on the record.
The rallies in Halifax and across the province were really galvanizing and exciting. And Anaganish out here, you know, a population of 5,000, I think there were maybe 1,000 people at our rally. Mm-hmm. And I gave my very first protest speech because that felt so important. And the response from that crowd was excitement and anger, and it felt really supported. And then to turn around and have it change almost nothing for the arts was really disheartening. And then the exhaustion of running a small theater company takes over, and it, the enthusiasm for what we do is hard to get back. And of course, I'm excited about my summer season, and when all of the artists come into this small town, it's a dynamic fest. Fantastic creative time, and they love coming into our town, where, you know, they'll come back to the theater and go, people were just saying hi to me on the street, what's going on? And they love being here, and we love having them here. How much longer can we do it?
Andrea Boyd is the artistic director at Festivaland Ganesh. Ken Schwartz is with Ross Creek Center for the Arts and Two Planks. We also heard Laura Vingo Cram from Ship's Company Theater and Kat McCormick, who's the artistic director at Eastern Front Theater, in there as well.
This is CBC Public Broadcasting.